We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joe Sheehan.
I don't know if you read what Joe Sheehan wrote.
I did.
Baseball America, SI, and the Joe Sheehan Newsletter.
Into right center, back of the warning track, the wall. It is gone!
He writes what Dan reads.
Reading is good.
Joe Sheehan with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Top of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves Fan 4-Packs. A fantastic way to enjoy Chicago Wolves hockey. Four tickets, four hot dogs, four sodas, one large popcorn, and one low price. To get yours, visit ChicagoWolves.com. They are winners. They are the Wolves. Joe Sheehan joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Over 500 new and used vehicles to choose from at Alpamonte Ford. He is on Twitter at Joe_Sheehan. He of Sports Illustrated and Baseball America. And Joe, we were just playing a little politics of glory game with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame of the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's just as stupid.
Something above replacement guitarist.
Right.
Mix above replacement.
No, it's where they were on the charts or sales levels. I mean, there's the same kind of metrics, I guess, figuring out if they deserve it. Same stupidity. Well, we are seeing a Cardinals team that all of a sudden can't hit. Obviously, they're going up against some terrific pitching, but this is pretty extreme to see it happen like this. What are we seeing?
You're seeing the Nationals get to reduce their pitching staff to just their good pitchers. They've used, after last night, they've used Strasburg and Scherzer for 42 of 81 innings after last night. That's more than half of their playoff innings have been pitched by two guys. Now, the Cardinals, they were basically an average minus offense, a bit below average, but they had no offensive identity. If you look at their numbers, the only thing they rated even above average in was drawing walks, which is fine. I mean, that's something you want to be able to do. But very little power, didn't hit for extra base hits, didn't hit for average. They steal bases, but in today's game, you really can't build an offense out of stolen bases. It's just, it's not a particularly good offense, and it's been really, you know, shut down by good pitching. And if you look back at that Braves series, guys, they won their games awfully randomly. I mean, they were down 3-1 in game one. They scored 6 runs in 2 innings out of nowhere. They were down 4-3 in game four. They scored, they kind of assembled runs in the 8th and the 10th. And then they had that 10-run outburst, which still, the Braves have to be looking at this series and going, how the heck did we lose to this team? The Nationals just a better team.
Does Steven Strasburg, I mean, he's been fantastic, and he's got himself an opt-out after this season. Does his performance in the playoffs in any way, or usage, impact his ability or willingness to perhaps opt out?
I'm not sure what you mean by usage.
He's been out there a lot. He's been out there a lot, and I would imagine, like you say, if they're going to reduce his the number of pitchers they're using, I would imagine they're willing to use him out of the bullpen when they need to again.
I don't think that's going to affect his willingness to opt out. If anything, I think it might make him more attractive on the market because it adds to the perception. Remember, I mean, Strasburg fairly recently had a reputation as kind of a delicate flower. I've said it myself when we've talked about using him on short rest. There was that controversy in the Cubs series. What was that, guys? 2 years ago where he was sick and he couldn't make the start and then it was rained out and he ended up starting anyway. There was a really good discussion on the Newsletter Slack channel last night about this, about, you know, 4-100. Will he opt out of that? I think he can do better than that. Cole will obviously be the big name on the market, but you look at Strasburg as somebody who, for his career, has basically been a 2, but now all of a sudden he looks a little bit like a number 1. And if we're using the Nerf balls next year, who knows what his numbers could be. So, I think that opting out is the move for him, even if it just is the CC Sabathia, Justin Upton opt-out, where you exercise the option to opt out, if only to give yourself an extension on your current deal.
Yeah.
So he might opt out for 12 hours and then end up back with the Nationals, you know, on 6-150 instead of 4-100. But I would be surprised if he declines the option entirely.
You mentioned the Nerf balls, and I'm wondering, is this the Joe Sheehan sort of allegory of the next ship coming in, the next pallet off the next ship and the unknown? Is that all this is, or is there skullduggery afoot?
I don't know. And you'll find a whole lot of people saying they don't know. This is the fight I had two nights ago, I think, online, where I'm basically saying, look, we know the balls are different. Rob Arthur's work at Prospectus last week pretty much ended any conversation about whether the playoff balls were different than the regular season balls. And I encourage people to check that out. I believe Prospectus posted that free. So go to Baseball Prospectus, look up Rob Arthur's article on the baseballs. I guess I just don't believe in MLB enough to think that they could arrange this. Baseball has basically always been surprised when the baseballs have changed. There's never been a moment where they've been like, we're going to make the balls X this year. And they've made the balls X. So I just really find it hard to believe that they, when everybody was would be looking, decided, yes, we're going to, for the first time ever, intentionally put a different ball in play. I shouldn't say the first time ever. In 1920, they put a different ball in play. But I really would be surprised if this was a positive action by MLB. And you make the argument, like, it's really not great for Major League Baseball to have such little control about over the baseball. But that's a whole different discussion. But I, until a lot of evidence comes forward, I have a hard time believing this is positive action by MLB because they've never done it before, and I don't think they're competent enough to do it.
Outside the playoffs, the Cubs have a couple of things going on. They're set to interview Gabe Kapler, according to reports, and they have already interviewed Joe Espada, the bench coach of the Houston Astros. What do you make of those two guys interviewing for Joe Maddon's old job?
I think both fit the new model of manager, right? You get a guy who's going to be part of the management team. Not that he's going to take direction from the front office and the quants, but he's going to work with the front office and the quants. You'd also hope that he's somebody who can relate to younger players, is good with younger players. There were some, you know, in Philadelphia after 2018, there were some questions about Kapler's ability to manage the clubhouse. Not so much that he didn't get along with players, he just kind of let them run their own show. Maybe that's what the Cubs need after Joe Maddon. Somebody who's maybe a little bit less a less strong personality. Espada would be interesting. He's never had the job before. I think your model there is, it's interesting because the model of guys who've gotten jobs without managerial experience tend to be ex-players. And Espada, of course, if he had a major league career, it was a very short one.
No, he didn't.
There's not a lot, you know, recent models for guys like that. But again, if you're looking for somebody who's going to be part of a team as opposed to somebody who's going to kind of be his own guy, I mean, there's been some talk about the Phillies looking at Dusty Baker or Buck Showalter. That's an entirely different model of manager. I think the Cubs going out and getting somebody who's less a strong personality than Maddon probably fits what they need right now.
Something's been happening in these playoffs, and it's now gotten to the point where I'm pretty sure it has to be happening. It's sort of the eye test that the well-worn viewer sensibilities that we have from years and years and years of watching center field camera-based television production, ball off the bat, you know if it's a base hit or not. Mm-hmm. You know by the angle. You understand it. Yet, when the director then switches to the other camera, it's an out because there's a guy there. And it's taken a lot of time to understand that shot that just gets right past the pitcher, sometimes the shortstop is just there because he's supposed to be there. And all of these teams that I've seen, and obviously in these league championship series, they're doing a really good job with defensive positioning, it seems to me.
It's everywhere, but I think it was really noticeable in that Yankees-Twins series. It felt like the Twins hit a lot of balls. We're like, okay, they're going to get back in this game. Nope, Didi Gregorius is there. Nope, Aaron Judge is there. The Yankees' positioning has been unbelievable in the postseason. It really came up in that first game against the Astros as well. It's data-driven positioning. Everybody calls it shifting. I don't like shifting because it implies that there's a standard that should be met that is now being violated. I just like calling it putting the guys where the ball's being hit, data-driven positioning. And it's really made it hard to get any kind of hit. Infields are impenetrable at this point because you have the best athletes in baseball history, and now they know where the ball is going to be hit, so they're standing pretty much where they need to be. Kind of a small way in which the game has just evolved. We talk a lot about the pitching and the power and those things, but the combination of data and athletes has turned balls in play into, you know, a nightmare for hitters. It's you're right. You think about it, that cut. You see a ball off the bat, and you go, that's a hit. You know, 50 years of watching baseball, you know, 12 for you, Connor, has taught us that this is the way the game is played, and it's really something. And It's funny, too, because if the ball is hit, you know, in what used to be the 5-6 hole, the Tony Gwynn hole,
yeah,
and a guy makes a play, somebody will say, or should say, if a ball's hit up the where second baseman normally would be, the announcer will go, up, he beat the shift. But if the ball's hit behind the second base bag, they never say, I'm screwing up my analogy here. My point is, they beat the shift, but you never hear, they beat the conventional defense. So, I like it. I like the fact this is one of the most obvious manifestations of data in the game today.
Yeah, I think about it. In other sports, it's completely cool and respected and sportsmanlike to position your defense where you think the opponent is going to be or go, and you do the same thing in baseball, and you're somehow in violation of something.
Can you imagine if on, like, you know, fourth and goal, you had a rule that said a team could only have four down linemen?
Right, or you need to have two deep safeties in the back of the end zone, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
You're not allowed to force a guy to go left when he's left-handed, that kind of thing.
Exactly, and this is what people want to do in baseball. It's like, look, this is you put your defenders where the ball is going to go. This is a fairly basic principle of sports.
Joe, I had hoped that Braves Nationals series ended in a way other than just an absolute shellacking. So we kind of got robbed a little bit, I think, from a nice little deciding game there. But we were having a conversation off the air before our NFL Monday. If you were starting a team right now and your choice between the first guy that you're starting a team around is Juan Soto or Ronald Acuna, who are you taking?
There's a pretty massive difference defensively, both in terms of performance and positional value. I give up the year, and I give up the possibility that Soto is Ted Williams. But I probably take Acuna just because you just start with a baseline of like a win and a half to 2 wins difference on defense and pitch and positioning a year. But it's a tough call because Soto, there's a chance that Soto is like that guy. And Acuna probably has an offensive ceiling, but I'm still probably going to take Acuna. That's a great hot stove league discussion.
If you are a team trying to learn a lesson from who's good here, you know, we always tend to extrapolate when we're down to the last team standing. We always do this time of year in any sport and say, well, here's how they did it. Therefore, this is how we're going to do it. What is a team going to do wrong? What conclusion are they going to draw from what we're seeing right now that is going to have them down a rabbit hole where they shouldn't be?
There's a lot of talk right now about how starting pitching has returned in the playoffs. Teams are using their starters more than they have in recent years. And that's largely a function of the teams that made the playoffs. If Josh Hader strikes out Juan Soto and the Brewers advance instead of the Nationals, we're having a totally different discussion because the Nationals and their starters don't advance and the Brewers and their bullpen heavy team do. So it's really just a function of personnel. We also can't yet tell. I think a lot of the starters working deeper is the Nerf ball, because in previous seasons you'd have two or three home runs that end up knocking a pitcher out of the game that don't exist this year. So I would be very careful about deciding that starting pitching is back and we need to build around a rotation, because I don't know what the baseball is anymore.
Are you cool with Aaron Boone's reputation? Well, I shouldn't say reputation, but his place in the hierarchy of baseball managers being reshaped this entire season long and also in this postseason, is that a good thing for... I think maybe it might be a good thing for baseball to have the Yankees in a place other than I just hate them. I don't know how much goodwill they can engender with a whole bunch of guys not named Aaron Judge playing all season long, but maybe that's something that exists for them.
Well, Boone is somebody I've kind of flipped on a little bit. I didn't love his rookie season, and he won a bunch of games because he's got a lot of talent. And I think the work he did this year, kind of learning from some of last year's mistakes, managing around all of those injuries. I want to say I had him second in manager of the year ballot behind Rocco Baldelli. And I think that, his changing, this has actually worked. And I'm surprised. I don't like the let's get a guy who's never managed before, pull him out of the TV booth, and make him our manager. I really hate that model. But Boone has certainly been a success for that model. As far as the Yankees, you can't build a Yankee team that's going to make them popular nationally. The pinstripes, the logo, the payroll are immediately going to turn off 65% of baseball fans. The 2017 Yankees were as likable a group as you could put together. It was that Judge rookie year. It was Severino's rookie year. It was a younger team where the payroll was high, But the production was all coming from these young players. They had Didi Gregorius, who's an incredibly likable player, incredibly likable person. And you've got still a lot of those same guys now. It's just I don't think you're ever going to get people past the evil empire. You know, rooting for the Yankees is like rooting for U.S. Steel.
Yeah.
That image. It's just it's never going to change, which is fine. I mean, it's part and parcel. You root for a team with 28 champions or 28 championships. You know, I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. I think baseball's best when it has a mix. When you have fun underdogs, which we really don't have. The Nationals, Cardinals, Yankees, and Astros, there's not really an underdog in that mix. But when you have great teams that people can kind of get riled up about, and then you have the plucky underdogs that can take their shots. I think the Braves advancing to the World Series against the Yankees or Astros probably would have been the best narrative for baseball because you would have had both sides of that. And, of course, that didn't happen. The Nationals aren't an underdog. The Nationals had a $170 million payroll, and they've got a core with like a couple of Hall of Famers and a couple of Hall of Very Good guys. They're a legitimately great team.
So, Joe, since you mentioned that you're not a huge fan of plucking someone, a former player, out of the broadcast booth who's never managed before and installing him as the next manager, if the Cubs hired David Ross, which kind of is feeling like how it's going to go, can you see your way to liking that hire, or is that just going to preclude you from liking what they might end up doing?
I think you're taking a risk. I think that it could go the way of Boone, or it could go the way of, you know, Ventura and Matheny, where... That's probably an unfair comparison because the front office in Chicago is not going to hire somebody who's that far afield from what they want.
Idiot! They're not going to hire an idiot.
But no, I think you're taking a risk there. I think that I'd rather have somebody who's got some dugout experience, some whether you know maybe it's minor league managing experience, maybe it's being a bench coach. But I that's the way I would go. And if the organization desires that they value what Ross brings in the clubhouse and they feel like they can make him do the rest of the stuff, make it from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., they can give him enough support that what he does the rest of the day provides a ton of value and that's what they want, that's the model. And like I say, it's worked in New York. And I can't anymore say that this is never going to work because you do have an example of it working in New York. But generally speaking, the model I think I love the best right now, guys, is the Terry Francona, AJ Hinch model, where you get a guy who his first job didn't work out, but he at least got the experience managing and he knows what it was like. And now you're going to take him and his openness to new ideas,
mm-hmm.
like Francona, you know, Francona Epstein hiring Francona in Boston. I'm talking about
that could be Kapler.
That could be and that. See, when you skip to the end, Dan, it really kind of kills my whole thing.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that's the Kapler model. And the idea of the Cubs hiring Kapler has a lot of the things I like about getting a guy. I think Kapler's a guy who, in his second job, could turn out to be a really good manager.
Joe, thanks, man.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, fellas.
Joe Sheehan brought to you by Fast Park and Relax, indoor airport parking serving Midway Airport. Traveling from Chicago's Midway Airport, park with Fast Park and Relax. And enjoy indoor parking just 2 minutes away for only $11 per day. Fast Park's van will take you to your terminal on time, every time. Visit them at thefastpark.com for reservations online. No walking, no waiting, never alone.
Big I think we need to do that to Dan from now on.
Skip to the end on all the stories?
Yeah. Yeah, so he's in the Midway, and you know, he's going through this long, elaborate article reading every graph, and we say, and the Gator ate the guy in the middle of
just
it.
Fast forward, the guy fell down a manhole and
we're
died.
Just by right. Cameron Hughes already. All right, I get it. We're good. Okay, I get it. I see where you're pointing at here. Big story last night as referees were just colossally screwing up the outcome of an NFL game. There was another colossal screw-up, or at least in my opinion, there was.
Yep.
That is a PR gaffe above all PR gaffes. LeBron James, after careful consideration in the NBA and China's conversation and confrontation between one another, 5 days later, LeBron talks and just messed it all up. You'll hear it when we come back. 670 The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We all talk about this freedom of speech. Yes, we all do have freedom of speech, but at times there are ramifications for the negative that can happen when you're not thinking about others and you're only thinking about yourself. So I don't believe, I don't want to get into a word or sentence feud with Daryl Morey, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand, and he spoke. And so many people could have been harmed, not only financially, but physically, emotionally, spiritually. So just be careful what we tweet and we say and what we do, even though, yes, we do have freedom of speech, but there can be a lot of negative that comes with that, too.
Well,
that's not good.
Oh, that's bad.
That's not good. That's LeBron James.
That's bad. It was selfish. Stand with the people of Hong Kong. It's the opposite of selfish.
Listen, Dan, I don't want to get into a war or a sentence word war with you or whatever the hell he's talking. What the hell was he talking about?
I move for a bad court thingy.
A sentence?
You mean a mistrial? Yes, a mistrial. That's why you're the judge and I'm the law talking guy.
I don't want to get into a word feud or sentence feud. Was he trying to think of war of words?
Yeah.
Did someone tell him don't say the word war when you're talking about China?
I don't know. He's just all completely wrong. In your country, you do have freedom of speech. They don't.
Some people are
actually standing up for them against an oppressive regime that imprisons people, that puts people of different beliefs and ideologies in concentration camps regularly.
It's not great. It's not great at all.
The whole thing comes off as so dumb and ill thought through.
It's stunning to me that he had 5 days to map that out with his team of, I assume, anyone he wants to put on his team, and then came out with that. And then came as the most powerful and most focal pointed figure in the NBA, that's what he had for you.
That he was somehow inconvenienced by this guy trying to lend solidarity to an oppressed group.
So there's two things in that quote that I want to suss out. And he tried to clarify it on Twitter and work through some things.
None of it made it any better.
No, none of it got clearer. None of it got better. That's for sure. But if he's talking about putting people in harm's way while teams were in China, That's a thing. That's not a dismissed thing. That is absolutely possible.
Okay, well, if he had just said
people were in danger.
If he had said nothing about the content of it or citing whether it's saying that he's allowed to express what he wants to express,
right.
The only issue that I have with it is it could have put us in danger.
Yeah. Even then, it's not all that well considered because he goes on to say there's a lot of things he didn't think of. While also saying, I don't know what he was thinking of, but there are a lot of things he didn't think of. And I can't help but try and see through this. And he understands, LeBron understands that the thing Morey was putting in danger was people's financial wealth. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Yep.
That's the cut and dry of it. That's the end. I mean, look, Space Jam 2's got to get to all theaters, man. It can't just come out in America. It's got to go to China, too. It's a tough spot. It's a really tough spot to have the NBA in right now because the league has enjoyed their players and league officials and front office people and franchises themselves. They have enjoyed a certain place in sports discussion because in the NBA, you get to say what you need to say.
in this country and about this country.
Now you don't get to.
But now you don't because
someone else.
You are in business with a country where there is no free speech.
And they get to determine the limit of your free speech.
Correct.
When they hold the purse strings the way that they do.
And they've said it. They've enumerated exactly what they consider free speech and what they don't consider free speech and what they allow and what they don't allow. They have their official statements have said it directly. They're not hinting around the edges of it.
If he believes it, I hope he keeps saying it.
Yeah,
I mean, if that's really where he stands on this, keep saying it. You know, keep speaking it.
He's the most powerful individual in this equation. The single most powerful human being in this entire socio-political equation.
Mm-hmm.
And what if he had just said, free Hong Kong?
Maybe he doesn't believe it.
Right.
Maybe he's not interested. That's his right.
He's wearing Terry's I'm not interested shirt.
The not interested sign is out there. He is just not. Thanks so much. He's got the ability to do that. I mean, we all do. We have the ability to determine whether the little small cognitive dissonances that we want to live with in our brains. And most don't spend the time to think about the cost. I mean, listen, we spent when this story came out, and we spent a lot of time talking about how your clothes, your shoes, your movies, your this, your that, all of it that you're participating in financially kind of makes you a little bit responsible for supporting a government that does what they do. If we are all beholden to that, why would LeBron be any different in making the choices he makes?
Here was a tweet in response from the NBA's Enes Kanter. Haven't seen or talked to my family in 5 years. They jailed my dad. My siblings can't find jobs. Revoked my passport. International arrest warrant. My family can't leave the country. Get death threats every day. Attacked, harassed, tried to kidnap me in Indonesia. He closes in all caps. Freedom is not free. Wow.
It's Enes Kanter, huh?
Yep. And it was his reaction. He had the facepalm emoji afterwards. Says, wow, dude, SMH. And then the green face sick emoji.
Here's one thing, though. Here's one thing that I don't want to go by the wayside. There's a text in that says from the 847, you can't champion social justice, then lay in bed with China and act like it's okay. You can. Watch him. Watch anybody who does it. I mean, you absolutely can.
I put it out before. In some ways, we all do.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. You can do those things. And when you're called out as a bit of a hypocrite, you kind of have to take that one. Yep, you're being a little bit of a hypocrite. But you can. And watch. People will champion social justice issues or make sure that things are attended to back from where they come from or in a place they grew up or that hits closer to home than them. That's absolutely something that everyone does each and every day. And it's not okay.
Last time we had this, hypocritical.
Yeah,
last time we had this discussion, I did it with the pullover I was wearing.
Yeah, what are you doing right now? You're like rearranging your entire...
I'm 2 for 2.
2 for 2? Another made in China pullover?
Yep.
Good for you.
Yep.
I'm sure I'm wearing something.
First it was my Camp One Step pullover. This is my Wells Park baseball pullover. I am 2 for 2 on the hypocrisy check.
I'm sure my jeans with the hole in the crotch also comply.
But you had those custom made, though. You had to send those. Those are actually, ironically, tailors in Hong Kong.
Yeah, you got to ask for those specials.
Right? You have to have those. The bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Northwestern Football at Ryan Field this fall when the Wildcats, led by Big Ten Coach of the Year Pat Fitzgerald, host Ohio State, Iowa, Purdue, and Minnesota in Big Ten play. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at NUSports.com. Bill on Capitol Hill weighing in on the score. Hey, Bill.
Hello, lads. How's the umpire?
Oh, it's a flame.
Yeah, it's Fitz flame.
It's the way we like it. Connor, your point about the responsibility because I wear Chinese made clothes, it seems to me that you're examining the wrong way about, right? That makes me, if you like, an ethical shareholder in the enterprise. That gives me more responsibility, right?
Hmm.
And it seems to me, and just to stick with the theme of hypocrisy for a second, I mean the great line I think is Montague or Montaigne that said, "Hypocrisy is the compliment that vice pays to virtue." I mean the difficulty is, for all the hypocrisy of the United States, we're lined up against forces, including in our own country now, who don't even have the decency to be hypocritical anymore, right? That they absolutely are lined up. They mean what they say, and they say what they mean, right? And, that's the challenge before us. It seems to me every generation, we sort of have to commit ourselves to the struggle for free expression. I mean, John Le Carre just died a couple weeks ago. I'm not going to let anybody forget how he flunked the test with Salman Rushdie, right? And LeBron seems, you know, headed towards similar obit. I mean, if you're, in essence, right now, what you're betting, if you take this craven LeBron position, you're betting that the Chinese are going to win.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to me to go against the bank of history, right? Like, it's possible, right? I mean, you can absolutely erase history, and we can go into new dark ages. But given the stakes, and given the fact that the modern-day tyrants, from Xi to Putin to Assad, and then the wannabe tyrants, including Modi in India, and that knucklehead you sent us in the White House, they've all decided to stand shoulder to shoulder. What that means is a fight against one is a fight against them all. And as formidable as they may be right now, because tyrants can break but never bend, any weakness in any of that facade will send the whole thing crumbling.
That's the shame of the missed opportunity, Bill. For me, it's not just what he said. It's the fact that he's LeBron, and it's what he could have said and didn't.
Correct. And it's the summer soldier and the sunshine patriot, right? Like, these are the times to try men's soul. So it's really disappointing for a lot of reasons. But I think that makes it incumbent on those of us who buy our sweatshop clothes to go to Amazon right now and buy those free Hong Kong shirts and show up to every NBA game and don't give them a minute's peace, especially in the Nets arena.
The free Hong Kong shirts, that might be made in China, actually. But we appreciate it, as always, Bill. These are the times of try men's souls. Thomas Paine?
I believe.
I don't want to be wrong about that, but I think that's who it is. Matt Spiegel is in today for Lawrence
Holmes.
He's
got common sense.
And he's going to be joined by Casey Johnson at noon. Joe Buck is going to be on with Matt Spiegel at 1 o'clock today. So we'll do transition with him in a bit. Just a couple moments, and I've got another chance for you to win $1,000 cash. So don't go anywhere. You've got the score.
Interesting stuff coming from overseas where 2 hours in a marathon have been broken, but it wasn't in a real race. One day, Greg and Larry, it will probably happen in a real race, and hopefully we're the ones to call it.
It does prove that it's humanly possible, but doing it under race conditions, that's a different thing.
Yeah, as opposed to having a dozen or more pacers breaking wind in front of you, so to speak. let's refocus on the chairs.
That almost slipped by me.
Thank you, Dan. I pointed a finger myself.
Don't pull it.
I caught a lot of that marathon broadcast. Josh Liss is just so good at that broadcast.
Yeah,
and then
smooth.
That happens and he knows what's up.
As opposed to having a dozen or more pacers breaking wind in front of you, so to speak.
Especially that Oladipo.
Oh, man, he'll let you know.
It's time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on the score. This hour's keyword is spark. Text spark to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is spark, not spork. Spark to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please don't text or drive. Message and data rates may apply.
A dozen or more pacers breaking wind in front of you.
Is that the only thing Lance Stevenson didn't do to LeBron?
Thanks to Kevin Fishbane, Ricky O'Donnell, and Joe Sheehan for joining us. Zawoski, Camp, and Diaz, the producers. Mark Grody is in for me tomorrow. I'm going to be probed by my alien
breaking wind
overlords.
Is what you're going to be doing.
They're going to go in there. They're going to take one look through whatever that speculum is. And the doctor is going to find a whole lot of bad sports opinions.
Wait, not that talent.
Right. Yeah, there's no question about it.
And what'd you think of that?
You want to do a call-in? Can you call in after the procedure? You have a little time afterwards?
Everybody I've talked to, everybody is telling me, hey, the drugs are great. The drugs are awesome.
Call in. Dan, how you doing? Everything's orange. Yeah, that's weird.
Mm-hmm. Mike Florio tomorrow, Hub tomorrow, and wish me luck in the next.
You'll be fine.
Next 24 hours are not going to be a whole lot of fun.
No, you're going to be perched on a throne with all sorts of acrostics.
I've printed out extra acrostics.
You're going to need more. You're going to need more of those.
Yep.
Hold on, is your show prep today?
This is printing these out.
It was a different kind of prep today.
Yeah, right.
The show.
Well, I'll be a changed man the next time we speak.
It'll be very different.
Transition coming up with Matt Spiegel. Keep it here on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.